at Jimmy Swaggart's headquarters yesterday. That's right. I, Martin Zunder, was at Jimmy Swaggart Ministry headquarters in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. That's right. That's not all. I was also, well, I went to church. Yes, Martin Zunder goes to church. It's true. But these were the good guys, honestly. It really wasn't an official church, please. There was no pews. There were chairs, so that's a good sign. No pews. And there was no stained glass, right? And nobody had a robe. Well, I was wearing my robe. I have this really nice red velvet robe with a white fur collar that I wear, you know, and I have these like old, like 18th century French, like heels, you know, shoes that, no, none of that stuff was going on. Hi, everybody. Martin Zunder. I am broadcasting to you from my makeshift recording studios in Ocean Springs, Mississippi. 2 days ago, I woke up here and I really did not know where I was. I was disoriented. I've been traveling so much since December. I thought I was in Pennsylvania. And then I sat there for a few moments and I finally realized, strangely enough, I'm in Mississippi. But I was okay with that because I like Mississippi. My mom was born here. Back in the day, she was born in Pass Christiane, which is only 30 minutes from here. So we're going to do some exploring here. I would like to thank my hosts here, Cassie and Sparky Purcell, and their sons, Bryce, Jake, and Stasius. Or is it Stasius? Darn it, I'll have to get that straight. I'm going to just call him Stub. That's his nickname, Stubby. I'll call him Stub Nuts or, you know, Stubomania. I'll put Stub in there somehow. He's the cutest little baby you've ever seen. If you don't believe me, well, he's not a baby, is he? No, he's about two, might be two and a half. Go to my blog, Zunderville, and check out the post there. Hopefully by today, I'm recording this on Monday. I'm sorry this is late. We got in late last night from the French Quarter in New Orleans. So I got to tell you about that, and I will. I got to tell you about the church yesterday in Baton Rouge. I'm going to tell you about Jimmy Swaggart, all this stuff coming up on today's show, unfolding here right before you. Bryce, Jake, Stasius, wonderful family. You're going to hear some ambient noise in the background. There's one of my new friends, Sheldon, is working on a treehouse out here, so you might hear some hammering. There's some dogs that live in this neighborhood, of all things, so they're going to be barking, what have you, but that's because we're on the road here. And I'm having a great time in Ocean Springs, Mississippi. So yesterday, Baton Rouge, I was invited. Thomas Kissinger is the, what do you call it, the co-pastor, assistant pastor at this church. David, and I'm sorry I don't know his last name, is the pastor. And they heard of me somehow through the wonders of the internet or the wonders of God's spirit. Sparky connected him, possibly. So I was invited to speak at this church, and it was so wonderful. The people there, as always, people start showing up, you shake their hands, and you're instantly gelling with folks. It's the Spirit of God. And I spoke on how to be free from sin while smoking a cigarette. And of course, I told him, like I tell everybody, insert your own vice in here. How to be free from sin while overindulging in Hershey's semi-sweet chocolate morsels, what have you. And that was really well received. I remember Thomas told me the night before I was talking to him on the phone. I never met this guy, Thomas Kissinger. He's a man of God, this Thomas Kissinger. He's an author himself. He's written the excellent book, The Glory of God, The Honor of Kings. Do a search on that on the internet. He told me, you know, 30, 40 minutes, Martin. And I always try to adhere to the timetable. My dad always taught me, leave them wanting more. Leave your audience wanting more. So I start to teach on this truth of freedom from sin in the midst of sin. And I'm not sure they ever heard this before. They were soaking it up, and I could have gone on for 3 hours. I went on for 50 minutes, and you can tell when people are just drawing from you. They want more. And it was such a satisfying place to speak. And a lot of people bought the book, How to Be Free from Sin While Smoking a Cigarette. Signed a lot of books yesterday. I had some extra books, gave those out. It was a very satisfying time. Love to meet fellow members of the body of Christ in enemy territory. What do I mean by that? This is Jimmy Swaggart land. Everybody knows Jimmy Swaggart. They tell me he's catching on to grace. Well, these things take time, I guess. 50 years, I'm glad he's finally starting to learn that it's of God and not of us. That's great. Now maybe we can get him to progress him to see that the cross was successful. Maybe that might be another 50 years. We'll see how old Jimmy handles it. But after the meeting, Sparky and Cassie and my friend Sheldon took me to Jimmy Swaggart headquarters, and I drove around the ministry. Tons of money go into the apostate organized church that are killing people by the millions, not killing them overtly, killing them subtly and over a long period of time by fear and foreboding of their future. So again, God does this on purpose. He purposely keeps his true ministers from rolling in the wealth so that they will be people of faith and they will be operating not because they're rolling in the dough. This isn't a job per se. It's not a career in the sense that you get a job so that you can make money so that you can retire at 55. No, there's none of that going on here. It's pure love. It's a love of what you do. It's a passion for what you do. And God makes sure it stays that way. And he seems to work very hard to keep money from us. But yet, on the other hand, people were generous at this church and they supplied my needs. They supplied my needs. So has Sparky. Tom is his real name, and his wife, Cassie. They've supplied my needs. The church Abiding Hope Fellowship in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, provided for my needs. I'd like to thank David. I'd like to thank Thomas Kissinger and all the wonderful people who were there. So I was really, this really wears you out when you teach. It's such an exhausting enterprise. You're energized when you're doing it, and you could do it for hours, but when you're done, it's like, man, I got to take a break. So we happened to be going through New Orleans on the way back. We took a slight detour. Instead of heading on Interstate 12 directly east back into Mississippi, we took this little detour on 10 and went into New Orleans. And I hadn't been there in like 6 years, and I've never been through the French Quarter. So we went, parked, and walked through the French Quarter. It was perfect New Orleans. It started to rain, the downpour for a while, but the people, it didn't stop the people. The colors, the lights, the excitement in the French Quarter, those narrow streets, you know, with the balconies and the bars and the excitement. Got one of the famous drinks there. It's called a hand grenade. Folks, there was not much alcohol in this thing. It's all marketing. It's pretty good marketing, though. They got a little plastic hand grenade in there. It's this tall thing, and it doesn't do anything, but it's just the famous drink of New Orleans, so you get a hand grenade, and we did, so that was fun. Stasius was great. I'm going to have some photos of him and us walking around the French Quarter, but I feel at home, again, at these places that are so-called bastions of sin. I think I told you this about Las Vegas before, that it's supposed to be, you know, Sin City, and yet the people are more honest in these places, and they're having more fun, and they're just happy people. I find that's what I found in Vegas, and it's what I found in New Orleans. You have to go to the churches to find the really evil, hypocritical, condemning, God-fouling, God-defying, God-defacing people. So I'm very at home, as was our Lord, with the so-called dregs of society. These are not the dregs of society. These are real people. It was so cool how Cassie and Sparky and Stubnuts and me and Sheldon, we became this group. We became this gang, a gang of five. Is that right, Stassi? Means seven? Yeah, five or so. And we're on a missionary journey, traveling across Mississippi, across Louisiana, to Baton Rouge, on a missionary journey, bringing people the Word of God, giving it to them. Traveling's tough in this eon. Gas is expensive. There we went, and we gave them the Word. People were edified. People loved it. They bought books. I gave David and Thomas copies of The First Idiot in Heaven to bring them, you know, up to speed on Paul's evangelism, where that's going, and I hope they bring that then to their congregation. And then, you know, the weary warriors traveling back into Louisiana, hey, let's make a little side trip to New Orleans, and we did it, and it was just so fulfilling. I slept great last night. I'm on an air mattress in this room. It's a little squishy, and I roll around on it, but that's fine because I had this floor fan, and you know, you get a floor fan at the exact right speed, it blows the curtains a little bit, gets some airflow going, has a fantastic hum. And on top of that, I had my white noise machine. Everything was perfect. The covers were perfect. I'm telling you, I slept like a baby. No fussing for me. It was fantastic. Look, I got to tie up some loose ends from Friday. And again, I apologize for the lateness of this show, but we're on the road here. There's some scriptures I wanted to get to you about the scriptures. That's what we're finding in 2 Timothy, is that now the scriptures are, I keep saying anchor. I'm upset at myself. What I want to say, scriptures are our lighthouse. It is an anchor too, but I keep wanting to say lighthouse and I keep saying anchor. Scripture is a directional beacon now. Where do you go for information about God? You don't go to this prophet, or you don't go to this lady who had a dream. Oh my gosh, speaking of lady, I got to tell you about Mary Cage. This happened on the way to New Orleans, in between Baton Rouge and New Orleans. Make a note of that for me. I don't know if I'll have time. I'll do it on tomorrow's show, which, just between me and you, I'm going to record right after this one, because I got to record these shows while I have a chance. There's so much action going on here. Mary Cage, let me write that down. All right, so it's a lighthouse. You don't go to this prophet. You don't go to that prophet. You don't go to this woman who had a dream. You go to the scriptures. And you go to the scriptures correctly cut, rightly divided, and scientifically translated. This is where you go. This is where arguments are settled. What is the use having arguments? And there's nothing wrong with arguing. The scriptures say that the Apostle Paul argued 11 times. I should say 11 times the scripture record the Apostle Paul arguing for the truth. Nothing wrong with that. What do you use? The scriptures. What did Paul use? The scriptures. When Jesus was walking to Emmaus with those two guys after his resurrection, he could have blown their minds with spiritual revelations from beyond the blue. But what does he do? He took them through the scriptures, showing how the scriptures show that he was the Christ, how he must suffer and die. He, the resurrected Christ, on the day of his resurrection, takes these disciples into the Word of God. Again, if anybody could have blown their minds with out of the blue language and spiro talk and Christianese, it was our Lord and Savior. But no. Takes them through the scriptures. So let's go to, I'm running out of time, Romans 16:25. This is Paul. Now to him who is able to establish you in accord with my evangel and the heralding of Christ, in accord with the revelation of a secret hushed in times aeonian yet manifested now. There's a mouthful there. I could talk to you for another hour, but my dad told me to leave him wanting more. To he who is able to establish you in accord with my evangel. Paul's evangel came to him with words. The Lord spoke to him in words, and Paul wrote it down. The heralding of Christ Jesus in accord with a revelation. Something is revealed, and then that revelation is manifested through prophetic scriptures. Manifested now and through prophetic scriptures. Scriptures are writings. That's the literal meaning of that word in the Greek. Writings. We have these things written down, thank God. Now, I know I'm going kind of fast. 1 Corinthians 14:37. If anyone is presuming to be a prophet or spiritual, remember, prophecy was legitimate back in the foundation days. But Paul says that it's not now. There are no prophets who are telling you the word of God, because the word of God was complete. It was a temporary gift, a temporary expedient, as Paul calls it in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. If anyone is presuming to be a prophet or spiritual, let him be recognizing that what I am writing to you is a precept of the Lord. Now, if anyone is ignorant, let him be ignorant. Paul says, look, if you're going to be ignorant, it's your own fault. Don't blame me, because I'm telling you that what I am writing you, me, Paul, the bringer of this evangel, is a precept of the Lord, and I'm writing it. You get that? Precept of the Lord, writing. The scriptures are our lighthouse. Colossians 4:16. And whenever the epistle should be read to you, I think he's talking about the Colossian epistle, cause that it should be read in the Laodicean ecclesia also, and that you also may be reading that out of Laodicea. Okay, I think there's a letter from Laodicea to Laodicea, one from Colossae to Laodicea, I think. Anyway, the point being, read these letters. Read these letters that I wrote, the epistle, the letter, it should be read. This is how revelation came. Even in the day of prophets, Paul was saying, read what I wrote. Paul was a great prophet, and he was an apostle. But again, this belongs to the foundation. Those were different days. It's broadcasting words, spiritual words, broadcasting truths, things that we can know, things that we can apprehend. We have a sound mind, not a crazy mind. We're not talking to you into the air with indistinguishable tones. We are speaking wisdom. I pray that you believe it.